Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. Fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. And when the world doesn't make sense and everything has gone haywire, there's only one guy I know that I can call and talk to about it, and that's my friend Mike Brown, ex from the Los Angeles Dodgers, currently the coach at Illinois, one of the coaches at Illinois Wesleyan, but more importantly, the founder, owner, and chief runner of Brown Capital, browncapital.org. Mike Brown, what's up, brother?
How you doing, Bubba?
Good to hear from you. It's always good to talk to you, man. So make some sense out of what's going on. Can you help me out? Can you help a brother out? Can you make some sense out of what's happening?
Boy, it sure feels like we're trying to pick a direction. Doesn't it look like the direction was going to be down for several weeks, and now it feels like they're trying to reverse it? We did test the August lows, and they held. So in the short term, it looks like it wants to grind higher. But as we know, if it doesn't take out the previous highs, it's just going to be right back down again. So I really do think, at least for right now, we're range bound. But it's a pretty wide range. There's definitely some trading that you can do in there. Not so much investing, but that's what I'm seeing right now. Until it breaks either through the downside, through the lows of August, or through the previous highs of last spring, I think we're just stuck in the same range we have been since May.
Yeah, probably. I mean, again, it's fairly pretty much Fed driven. Again, it doesn't matter why. They don't ask how you got the money. They just said, did you make it or not? And of course, the markets have been extremely Fed-driven here. And what is your take on the Federal Reserve in general? I mean, I know we've talked about it in the past a couple of times, but is this getting to a point of nauseam with every day we have to talk about the Fed, and every day we're worried about what the stock market do with the Fed, when that really isn't any part of what their business is supposed to be?
No, I mean, their mandate is to be inflation hawks, which, okay, I guess there's no inflation, so they don't, we don't need any hawks. But, I wish they would have raised at this last meeting and just started the process. And we all know it's coming. And really what they've done is what, the politicians for the last 10, 12 years have done, at least, if not longer, is just keep kicking the can down the road. But it's just, when that, someday that bill is coming due, and when it does, it's only getting bigger the further down the road we kick it. So, from a stock market standpoint, when that does come home to roost, when the easy money does get sucked out of all of this, it's going to get ugly. When's that going to be? I don't know, but there will be a day of reckoning at some point.
Only the shadow knows. I mean, it's funny because we're a little long on tooth in the bull market. And again, listen, I'm not predicting the top, and I try to always warn everybody. I obviously myself have a bearish sentiment to the market, but I always try to make it clear that I'm always long the market through my IRA and through my retirement funds. So I'm not, it's not a big deal, but again, just on a short-term basis, we seem to be going up on an air bubble. I mean, I'm calling this an asset bubble, and nobody else will call it with me, but what do you think? Is this a bubble in your opinion?
I think there's certainly asset values are inflated. Are we at bubble levels yet? The fact that everybody's talking about it being a bubble, it tends to lead me a little bit to, think, okay, it's not ready. If it is a bubble, it's not ready to pop. But because everybody's talking about it. Usually market bubbles burst when everybody's euphoric. Everybody wants to own everything. I don't really see that right now, but I do think, the only increase that's gone on since the crash of 08, you haven't seen really distinctive wage increases. You haven't seen an increase in GDP. What you've seen is an increase in asset values. So, it's certainly setting up like that's the spot that it's going to be. You've seen the air come out of the bubbles in biotech, out of the biotech market. You've seen the air really come out of the emerging markets. So that probably leaves asset bubble here in the United States the next one to fall.
I mean, what do you think of? Look at our debt to GDP ratio. I mean, all we are is a much bigger version of Greece.
If we did not have the, if we were not the world's reserve currency, we would have a lot of issues. Thankfully for us and our standard of living and our children's standard of living, we still are. But if we don't reverse course and start, raising our GDP, creating things here, be a little more business friendly, cut back our regulations, we've become a regulatory state. You watch the Democratic debate, that's what they're talking about, more taxes, more regulation. Hey, we're gonna regulate this. At some point, every regulation they roll out, every new government agency they roll out, is a tax. There's a tax on the people of that country. Any government that forms a new level of bureaucracy, new regulations, those are taxes. And they're taxes on our growth, they're taxes on our production. And eventually, that's why you have no wage increase. People are not, businesses are not able to pay the workers. We're too busy dealing with all the other things that come down the pipe.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that's part of the problem, Mike, is that, we continue with more regulation, and it's harder to borrow money, so even though money is cheap, you can't get any, so what difference does it make? And we're very not tax-friendly to companies who have money. In your eyes, do you see industrial things coming back to the United States in your eyes?
Not in this environment, no. You need a Reagan-esque type, deregulatory environment where they cut taxes, they give a tax holiday for the money they have overseas. We give you 6 months to repatriate that tax-free, put it to work here. Those are the kinds of things that seem like very common sense things to do. But, all we hear, and the Republicans are throwing some of those things around, all you hear from the Democratic side is, and this is they're pandering to their base, which is the entitlements, and we're going to give you. Well, if they're giving you something, they're taking it from somebody else, and that's socialism. I mean, for those of us who studied political science in college, it's a pretty simple equation to figure out. If they're taking it from one class and giving it to another, it's socialism. So.
Bernie,
if they take it from everybody, it's communism.
Bernie Sanders, baby. But I'm going to frame a question for you. You can think about it when we go to break here. Okay, the Democratic debate, to me, it was an ass-kissing and a coronation of Hillary Clinton, and it had nothing to do with an actual debate. To me, that was the worst exhibit of people running for office, and Bernie Sanders was almost, in my eyes, he was on his knees, with Hillary. I didn't get it. I didn't see anything that showed me. Now again, everybody knows that listens to me that I don't support either side for what they do because I think that they're both full of crap and they're both only in it for them. But I didn't see what I would call a real debate. I thought it was really rather a sham in my opinion. But I'll get your opinion when we come back from the break. I'm with my man, my friend Mike Brown, browncapital.org. Check it out. One of the best money guys around that understands the markets. And again, in my opinion, it's always very important that you have somebody who understands the actual working of a market, because when you hear us on the show here all the time, it's how does the market work, not just you got to buy this. And I think that's one of the things that's very important. Also, I want to remind everybody that, with these markets making ridiculous moves, there is no better time now than to start to learn how to hedge your portfolio. And we are offering classes. You can go to thebubbashow.org and you'll see it right on the front page, or you can go to the store and see the different classes we're offering. But again, The Bubba Show, we believe that you should always be hedged. Sometimes you're a little higher, a little more hedged, or what we call overhedged, sometimes underhedged. But you should never have to worry about what the market's going to do tomorrow. And days like August 24th should never have to cross your mind. But this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, with Mike Brown from browncapital.org. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with my man, Mike Brown, browncapital.org. I'm telling you, for your own personal benefit, check him out. Again, I'm a big believer on people that understand the market and understand why it works and how it works. And you get that when you deal with Mike Brown, and that's browncapital.org. So, all right, Mr. Brown, what were your thoughts of the debate?
Well, I thought it was pathetic. I think she's a pathetic candidate. She's a retread, you know, was a career politician. It's going to be more of the same. You know, it looks like they're bound and determined they're going to run her. You know, the people they lined up against her, I mean, it was just a lot of ass-kissing.
Wasn't it?
So, yeah. I mean, but hey, you know, I hope they run her because I don't think she can win. So, and it's just, you know, her, well, you know, she's going to jump on every hot topic that comes down the pike, whether it's, you know, gun control, you know, women's issues, et cetera. You know, right now it'll be that, you know, we're going to take away all the guns, et cetera, you know. You know, forget the fact that, you know, these attacks all occur in gun-free zones, you know, so maybe we ought to take the opposite approach and harm some people at those places. Maybe that wouldn't happen. But.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. You got Obama, there was talk that he might issue an executive order on guns, right? Now, you and I both know one thing, right? The criminals, they don't care. The criminals always have the latest technology, the best guns, the best everything. So if you take guns away from if you take the Second Amendment away, okay, and you take away everybody's gun, what does that leave you? It leaves you a society with only the criminals having the guns. I mean, does that make sense? Or I'm nuts. But
it leaves you a society where only the criminals and only the government have the weapons, which is exactly what the founding fathers created the Second Amendment. I mean, there's a reason it's the Second Amendment. It's not the Ninth or Tenth Amendment. It's the Second Amendment. You know, so you know, it was right. It was high on their priority list. And yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, okay, we want to get rid of you want to have a gun. Virginia McCullough just came out today and said he's going to issue an executive order that there will be no concealed carry, no open carry in Virginia in executive branch except for law enforcement security. So he's not going to give up his armed guards. But you have to walk around without being able to defend yourself. So, you know, it's really a hypocrisy. You know, Lincoln was the president during obviously the most protagonistic era of our country. And he went, you know, however many blocks away from the White House without a guard. And, you know, most of the people around there were armed. You know, these guys are going to surround themselves with bodyguards, and then they want your guns. So, you know, I have a problem with that. I mean, it's you give up your protection, and then you can tell American people. Then you can at least speak without being, you know, hypocritical about taking away other Americans' rights to defend themselves. Because we're paying taxes. You know, our taxes are what are paying your security details. So, you know, you're going to tell me that I can't concealed carry or open carry if I do it lawfully? That's ridiculous.
Well, I could not agree with you more, but again, we've seen, you know, over the years. Now, that brings me to another question.
People have to rise up. I mean, at some point, people have to. And people have done a good job of it. You know, the liberal media wants to brandish about it as just the NRA. It's not. I mean, it's, you know, I'm a gun owner. I grew up, you know, my father was a police officer. I grew up with weapons in the house. And, you know, we have rare weapons, and, you know, it's just, that's part of being an American. You know, we have the ability not only to defend ourselves against foreign aggressors, but to defend ourselves against our own government, which is not all that far-fetched at times.
Well, let me ask you, that brings me to my next question. In your opinion, is there any chance that we could ever see another revolutionary war in this country?
Yeah, if they keep pushing it in this direction, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you've seen rebellion. You've seen the Whiskey Rebellion, you've seen the Hay Rebellion in this country before. Obviously, the Civil War. You know, over the next 100 years, especially if there continues to be the disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And I'm not saying, you know, strength of America has always been the middle class. You know, especially through the mid to late 1900s. Was the strength of the middle class, where a guy, blue-collar guy, could go to work in a steel mill, the auto factory, and make a living for his family, send his kids to college. You know, the American dream was marching forward. If that stops, then yeah, at some point in time, and that's part of the reason, you know, the powers that be right now, the entitlement powers, you know, want to take away your guns, and you can't stand up against them. So it's the old Roman maxim, bread and circus is for the masses. That's how you keep them happy and content. You know?
Let them
you do whatever you want.
Let them eat cake and off with their head? Is that
pretty much.
I mean, don't you find it? I mean, you know, my problem is the more you take away, the more you make people poorer, which is what they're doing. The more, I mean, have we forgot what happened with Adolf Hitler? I mean, he wouldn't have been successful if the people weren't so poor and downtrodden to come to him. Are we not looking at ISIS in the same manner? I mean, are not people flowing to ISIS a little bit because of this? I mean, at some point.
And one of the things the Germans did was, the first thing they did was had all the policemen come in and turn in their weapons. You know, they registered gun owners. They had them turn in their weapons. So, you know. Ben Carson is a big furor about what he commented that, you know, had the Jewish people been armed, they might have been able to defend themselves to a certain extent. In Poland, in Germany, in Austria, in Hungary, but they weren't. So they were completely at the mercy of the power that be at that time, which was the Nazis. So, that's one of my favorite quotes is Admiral Yamamoto, you know, you cannot invade America, there'll be a rifle behind every blade of grass.
And he's right. I mean, it's really a shame the destruction that we're doing, because it was, maybe I'm too much of a simpleton, but the solution is so simple, and yet we make it so complicated because we allow the government to get just so unbelievably big, and we have all these ridiculous legislations around us that really prevent, it's almost trying to prevent the guy coming here, as you said earlier, who, you know, where else could you go to take nothing and become a billionaire? I mean, you could certainly do it in America back in the day. I'm not saying you can't do it now, but it's certainly a lot tougher now. It's a lot tougher to get through now. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's still obviously those rags to riches stories and that. What's disappearing is the, you know, the guy that, you know, gets out of high school, obviously, and goes to work in a, you know, in a factory for 30 years, makes a nice living, and sends his kid to college. Or the college student gets out, goes to work, may, you know, now they got to live with their parents for 5 years because their student, they got to pay off their student loans if they can even think about buying a house. So, you know, those things. And one of the things that's really been an assault over the last 15 years or more is the whole political correctness thing. You know, it's what all of these things we're talking about, to me, are assaults on our liberty. You know, there's a lot of things that are said that I don't like. You know, but I don't like them. You know, it's that's part of democracy and freedom and liberty is I don't have to like what you say, but I would defend to the death your right to say it. You know, I'm not going to like everything you say. That's just part of it. People are so sensitive. And so, you can't wear a T-shirt with a rebel flag on it. Why not? You know, yeah, I get it. It's offensive to part of the population. I get that. You know, there are things that are offensive to other parts of the population that people do. You know, Bill Maher offends a great part of the population, you know. But it becomes so visceral with the liberal left that, you know, and they just attack everything, and you're a racist, you're a bigot, you can't have a differing opinion with anybody. We can't have a rational, civil debate about anything anymore. Everything is on the extremes, and that's disturbing.
Well, it is disturbing, and so that will lead me, we're going to step out here for a break, but that will bring me to my next question to you, my friend. What do you think about our big boy Donald Trump as potentially the next, at least, candidate for the Republican Party? But when we come back from the break, we're going to get Mike's answer on Donald Trump. This is the Bubba Show. I am hanging out with my friend Mike Brown, browncapital.org, also played in the Dodgers system, but more importantly, just an overall good, smart guy that gets the market view. And I think that's why you need to check him out and look him up, and we'll get his information for you as well, because again, trading and investing is about protecting yourself, as we are just talking about in our country. You want to learn how to protect your portfolio the same way you would want to protect your own life. And I think that's something important. And that's when you deal with people that understand it, you get a much better shot at defending what you need, because It's not easy, and it takes some work to do it, but Mike Brown from browncapital.org can do that. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Mike Brown. Well, we're going to stop out here for a break, and we'll be right back, but make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. Make sure you check out the store and get signed up for one of the hedging webinars. At least get my book for free, just shipping and handling. It's there as well. The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break.
In other words...
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with my friend Mike Brown, browncapital.org. Check him out. Mike, what is the, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
You can reach me at mbrown at National Securities, or my office phone number is 309-674-1040, 674-1040.
Okay, so Mike, I said to you before we went to break, I said, so what's your opinion of Donald Trump? So what's your opinion of Donald Trump?
He's certainly been entertaining, hasn't he? I agree with a lot of things he's saying. Whether or not I think he can implement them, and does he have the discipline, you know, to run a campaign, you know, focused on the issues, that remains to be seen. He's obviously a very intelligent guy. People want to paint him as a caveman or whatever, just again because they don't agree with what he has to say. But he's, you know, I like some of the points he's bringing up. I like the fact that he's willing to voice and say things that we haven't heard for a long time. You know, the political banner in this country at times is, you know, like watching paint dry. So the fact that he's willing to get in there and mix it up and talk about some of the tough issues. And, you know, I like that about Ben Carson, too. He's another guy who's obviously very, very intelligent and particulate and has not been, you know, not shied away from some of the tough issues. And, you know, the liberal media has tried to paint them with very, very, tried to tar and feather them, more or less. And, you know, so far they've both been surviving, which I'm glad to see, which tells me, you know, people in this country, you know, they're a breath of fresh air for them.
Yeah, I mean,
what people want to hear.
I mean, I like what he says. I mean, look, you know, you talked about earlier political correctness. No, he's not politically correct, but you know what? I like what he says.
You shouldn't have to be. That whole term should be anathema to every American. There was nothing politically correct about the founding fathers and a lot of the people who made this country what it is today. You know, you don't, this whole political correctness, that's for shrews who sit in the library. That's my opinion of that. It, you know, it's pervaded the academic campuses, and it's disgusting. You know, if you can't talk about tough issues and tough topics and use tough phrases or phrases that are that people maybe distasteful to people on a college campus where you're supposed to be exchanging all kinds of views, where can you? You know, that's one of the worst parts about this whole political correctness is how the colleges have embraced it. It's disgusting.
Well, I agree with you, and of course you are the one who coined the saying. What is your famous saying?
Oh, a cream of bastard rise.
Hey, listen, you know, I mean, it's just it's really time, you know, as Obama said, you know, with all the bullshit, it's time for change. It really is time for a change, but it's time for a real change. to make it so that real Americans can have a real run at what we're used to. And doesn't, you don't have to, you, I mean, you can immigrate this country legally. I have no problem. Come on aboard. If you can make it better than somebody else, great. But what I'm really tired of is, you know, I'll tell you an interesting story. There's a major corporation, I don't want to say the name, but a major corporation that needs a lot of help. They need employees. And they can't get them because they you know, they pay the minimum wage is what, $8.50 or $8.75 an hour. And the employees that they can hire know that they can stay home and get almost as much without ever leaving their house. So why would you leave your house to go get a job? Because what I'm concerned about in my eyes is, where's the pride? Where is the pride in hard work and really doing something and growing somewhere? You know, I mean, I just don't see much of that through a lot of people. And again, I'm not accusing everybody. I'm not lumping everybody, but I see a lot more people that have less pride in workmanship. And I think that's kind of sad. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think that's a byproduct of a lot of things we've been talking about. You know, you can't call people out on anything anymore. You know, you can't call people lazy. That'd be, you know, get your ass to work kind of thing. You know, then you're not respecting their social condition or their, yeah. You know, there's some politically correct excuse for it. You know, I think, you know, Clinton, I thought, did a good job in the 90s of rolling back the welfare rolls. You know, that needs to be done again. You know, how do you do that? You do that in conjunction with, you know, being more business friendly. You know, let Americans innovate. Let us take the gloves off. Let us innovate industrially. You know, not just with technology, but industrially. You know, let's make it easier to build some plants here. You know, there's got to be a happy medium with the EPA and OSHA and the rest of them, where we can, you know, we can compete because we are technologically advanced over the emerging markets. So can we do it cleanly, you know, within reason? You can't. I mean, you listen to people, it's impossible to build a factory in California. Well, it shouldn't be impossible. This is America. You know, there's got to be a way to, you know, like everybody can meet in the middle and we can create jobs. So you just gotta, somebody's got to come in from the top and, you know, get the bureaucrats out of the way and start making it happen.
Listen. Why don't you want to be my running mate? You and I go kick the shit out of everybody. How about that?
It would be fun.
I mean, you know,
we take our lumps along the way. But
well,
right.
There's a lot of lumps, but you know what? I'm tired of just a lot of this stuff. I was on Barney last week, and Barney says, "When do you think the world is going to end?" And I said, "I love the world. I love the country, but I want it better. I don't. I'm tired." Of all the stuff, you know, and somebody once said to me, and I'm going to get your opinion on this, you know, entitlements, you know, if somebody really needs an entitlement, you know, you're disabled, whatever, you know, you're really unemployed and you need something to help. I have no problem with it. I mean, really,
widows, orphans, things like that. I mean, yeah, there are real circumstances to help people. Absolutely.
But here's what somebody brought up to me once, and I'd like to get your opinion if you can comment. And that's you find you can have the entitlement, but if you're entitled, you don't have the right to vote until you're back working in the real population. And unless you are, you know, injured, you know, veteran, whatever, you know, widow, you know, that, you know, whatever. But you should not have the right to vote, because what happens is the system is self-perpetuating, because we keep getting, you know, for now we use Obama, but it's not only him. I mean, I don't like him, but it's not only him.
It's not.
Okay. But, you know, he keeps coming up with more entitlements. So he keeps basically buying votes. And, you know, here's an iPhone. You come out every 2 years, you vote Democratic, and here you go. So, okay, fine. You want entitlements, you lose your right to vote. And I think that might change some things. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if you've been on unemployment for more than 6 months, you can't vote because you are compromised. You know, it's a conflict of interest. So, I absolutely agree with that. You know, I'm not saying it's unfair. But, you know, we're not the fair police. You know, life isn't fair. You need to try and keep a level playing field. And Obama didn't create this system, but he gamed it better than most. And, you know, he's a very smart man, and he has gamed the system to his party's advantage. You see that with the illegal aliens. Yeah, I agree. You can't deport them all, et cetera. But you can't. You don't let them vote. You know, you have to be a naturalized citizen to vote. You don't let anybody who happens to run across a river in the middle of the night cast votes for the leader of the free world. Like, I mean, that is just, to me, that's absolute lunacy. So, but, you know, that's again that political entrenchment of, hey, we just want to win and stay in power, and we don't care, you know, what we have to do it. I mean, I've said it many times about him. Chicago politics writ on a national stage. That's all it is.
I love that you game the system. I haven't heard that. That's pretty cool. Listen, he is a smart man, but unfortunately, I mean, a lot of our leaders are smart, but unfortunately, they're only smart when it comes to the library and economic theory. And of course, to quote the great economists we follow, Keynesian, John Maynard Keynes said in 1928 that we'll never have any more collapses in our history. Well, I guess he only missed by about 10. But you know,
yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, he did say it.
And collapses are okay. They're what flush out the system.
I agree. Listen, no. I agree with you. You have to be able to. The problem is when you can't fail, you can't get better. You can't get stronger if you're not allowed to fail.
Yeah, if you can't get the excesses and the weaknesses out of the system, then you can't move forward.
I mean,
that's exactly why people in this, because we are going to have crashes. We are going to have, they're going to happen again and again and again. That's exactly why people should be tuning into your seminar tonight, your class. You know, here's how you protect yourself, and here's how you profit from these things. And it's not, you know, voodoo or anything else. It's just a matter of hedging your portfolio, slowing the market, moving, you know, in large swaths in either direction, you're protected. You know,
hey,
you guys do that very, very well.
No, we do it better than anybody. I mean, the truth is we do it. We know more about it. We figured it out. And the point is, what we're really trying to teach people is how to compound their portfolio. Because if you do it properly, look, what do we know for a fact? We know for a fact that the market over time, over history, has gone up approximately 9% year over year. But throughout that time, there's been a lot of market collapses. But if you were prepared for that market collapse instead of puking out through it, you would have been in great shape and ready to buy more equities when the markets were favorable and down, because with your portfolio, with the hedge on, you would be accumulating more cash to take more cash and put it back in. And that's called compounding. That's called running the endowment model within your own portfolio. Now, we all can't afford to do endowments because, of course, universities, that's what they're famous for. But they can buy a lot of illiquid assets because they don't need the cash. But for those of us normal people that don't have that kind of money, we can compound and create our own endowment model that is liquid, that we can get in and out of anytime we need to, and we are always in play and always in the market collecting dividends. And yes, the market goes down. You know what? We look forward to when the market goes down, because all that does is it gives us more cash to step in and buy more equities. But I'm with my man, Coach Mike Brown, great baseball coach, great baseball player. Just came back from a college visit with his own son, and now he is, of course, browncapital.org. And again, I'm telling you, check him out. Email him. He does a great job of what he does. He's on top of the market, and you can hear by his things. He's passionate about a lot of things about the world, and he will certainly share those with you. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with Mike Brown.
Song was written by Fred Ebb and John Kander.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with my man, my friend, Mike Brown, Coach Mike Brown, but also Brown Capital Group, browncapital.org. You got to check him out. I'm just telling you, you get a real straight-up opinion of the markets. And again, it's really important when you're involved in having people watch your money to have people that understand how the market works, which Mr. Brown does, and that's why we love to have him on and talk to him. So, Mike, you know, we've talked about the Fed and how I hate them, and we talked about, you know, the politics, but, you know, the big story last week was Walmart. And first of all, their debacle with their looking forward earnings. And I mean, this is not a surprise. I mean, retail sales in general have been declining since 2011. So why such a big shock, and why are we surprised, and why is everybody up in arms at what they did?
Yeah, I think most people saw this coming. It's not, part of the economy is doing better. The people with assets, they don't shop at Walmart. You know, maybe they do when things are tough. There's been a large dichotomy between the S&P going up and Walmart's earnings going down over the years. And, you know, I think you saw some mismanagement in there, obviously. And, yeah, retail, the competition for the retail dollar is extremely strong. And it's diverse, probably more diverse than it's ever been, with the internet and and all the things that are going on with technology. So, yeah, it doesn't, I would not, it doesn't surprise me.
I mean, you know, we watch the markets go up day after day, and you know, we're back, you know, making a rally, and we had that one pullback down. But you look at a company like Walmart, you know, down 40% in the last year. Pretty much of a main staple, what you would say, in the United States. Yes.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I mean, it's the largest retailer in the country. You know, in full disclosure, we don't own it in any portfolios, but yeah, I mean, it is the, you know, it is the mainstay, you know, obviously the largest retailer in the country. So you got to sit up and take notice.
I mean, and then Caterpillar down 40% in the last year. I mean, that's right in your neck of the woods down there. I mean, you know, I mean, why are we, how can we manage when we see such really devastation to some of these stocks? What is really holding up the economy? I mean, I just gave you two of the main staples, okay, in Caterpillar and Walmart. And there's a lot more. I mean, I could, you know, IBM, because IBM, I think, is a different problem. But I mean, I gave you staples. I mean, what's the story here? I mean, how can we continue to ignore these things? I mean, it's not like they're not slapping you over the head and saying, hey, look at this, I'm down 40%. I mean, tell me about that.
Yeah, I think when you talk about those two specific sectors, whether it be retail and manufacturing, you know, not to comment on any specific stocks, but if you look at retail, you've not seen wage growth in the last 15, 20 years in this country. So people's, and there has been inflation, whether, you know, even though they say that there hasn't, I mean, there's been inflation in the price of milk, certainly in the price of beef. Things you put on your plate, things you put on your table, there's been inflation. So there's been an erosion in the buying power and the disposable income of most of, you know, the average American. So you're seeing that creep up in the retail sector. And, you know, manufacturing, you know, like we talked about earlier in the segment, you know, the regulation, the things that have gone on, the anti-business sentiment of the, you know, the powers that be, you know, especially, you know, even worse here in Illinois. I mean, you factor in, you know, the federal issues and anti-business activities, and then you magnify it by two within the state of Illinois if they happen to do business here. So, you know, those are two areas. You know, we've become a service, software, technology economy. We've obviously moved away from the manufacturing, which is part of the reason I think some of the, you know, some sectors of the market are doing very well. But those two sectors, you know, it's going to be some tough sledding for, you know, for a while going forward.
No, I mean, it's sad, and you talk about inflation, and I'm about ready to puke when I keep hearing there's no inflation, because basically the middle-class Americans are getting double whacked, because they're making less money. That's a mathematical, like, that's not even me talking. They're making less money now than they were making 6 or 7 years ago, and you're paying more for goods and services when you go to the store. So not only are you making less, you're paying more, but we have no inflation because you can still buy a computer or a cell phone that you're going to keep forever. I mean, where is the logic in your mind? I've never been able to figure this out. Where is the logic when they take out food and energy, when they take out all these things they take out to make a number look like what it looks like? I mean, do you get that? Do you understand it? Am I, you know?
The two things you absolutely can't live without, let's take those out of the equation. You know, the two things, you know, you got to heat your house, you got to get to work, and you got to eat. So, you know, those are, you know, the two things that every human being needs, and they take them out. That's never made sense. But yeah, I mean, you want to talk about inflation. You've got two kids in college. I think, is it more expensive for you to pay for the college than it was maybe would have been 10 to 20 years ago?
You know what? I'd like to take that shot. I'd like to go back, and my sister went to Southern Illinois University. You know what her tuition was?
I'm going to guess $1,000.
$91 a quarter. Okay. It's a far cry from the $105,000 I have to pay. Okay.
You mentioned earlier I took my son on his first college visit, and you know, I think my parents paid somewhere in the neighborhood of $2,300 a year in the late 80s, early 90s for me to go to a private school, to go to Illinois Wesleyan. I won't name the school we went and visited, but it's a similar school in another state. And, you know, we're looking at paying $30,000+ a year.
Amazing, isn't it?
But you know, 20 years later. So you can't tell me from, you know, $2,500 to $30,000+ that there's not inflation. There
But no comprehensive.
There's just not wage growth to keep up with it. And that's really has become a problem.
But no conversation on air with Mike Brown would be complete without talking a little bit of baseball. And as you know, Coach Brown, I always tell you that you can have all the big boppers in the world and hit them out of the park, but if you ain't got people who can field the baseball, it don't matter. And we saw a perfect example of that last week in the Texas-Toronto game. Texas should have won that game easily, and of course, all of a sudden, they couldn't field the baseball, and what happened? Bing, 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 and Joey Bats knocks one out of the ballpark, and game over. What, you know, see, it goes back to everything you do in life comes back to one thing, doesn't it? Defense, pitching in defense, running in defense, in the market, it's defending your portfolio. Would you agree with all that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've never seen an inning like that. You just don't see big league ball players. They, you know, maybe once every couple of weeks they'll drop a ball that hits them in the glove. You don't see three in an inning. That was crazy. And how about you got to give a shout out to the Cubs.
Oh, I've been singing the Cubs song all week. Go Cubs, go! Oh, hey Chicago! No, the Cubs are great. And
love that song. Did you see the video a guy shot from his high rise about a mile away?
I did not.
He's got to be, you know, 30 floors up. I guess he's probably over by the loop, it said. And over a mile away, and he's filming, you know, Wrigley Field. You can see the lights, and you can clearly hear word for word the song. You can make it out clear as a bell when they were across the street. It was really cool.
Unbelievable. And Joe Maddon, best coach ever. I said that all along, but I think that he's just proven it every time he gets the kids to play. He's a great manager, and I don't know that he's so politically correct either. But as always, Mr. Brown of browncapital.org, it's great to have you on the air. You always do bring some great light to the show, and I certainly appreciate your time.
I appreciate you having me on, and I encourage all of your guests to tune into your hedging. It'll be time that they will be very glad they spent as we move forward in this market, that's for sure.
Yeah, I do tell people that this is a program that, believe me, if you say you can't afford it, it will pay you back in spades if you do it properly. Because, again, as I just mentioned with baseball and football, everything we do in life, you got to be able to defend yourself, the Second Amendment. But that'll do it for today. We had Mike Brown on all day, and he always brings some great stuff. And, of course, his famous quote, we'll leave with that. Only cream and bastards rise. And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. That'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.